This is not going to be a real pleasant message here tonight, but and you may think it's irrelevant, but I don't think it's irrelevant at all. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The book of Corinthians is a very different book, the 1st and 2nd Corinthians, than the rest of the epistles. It's just different. We read through it here recently, and I just pointed it out to her because I thought, notice the difference in the tone from the Corinthians to the Philippians. It's a totally different tone of writing and everything. These people were, they were in a mess. They allowed everything into their church, into their lives. And the thing about it is, Paul didn't call them a bunch of heathens and say, you're just a bunch of reprobates. He didn't do that. They were still a church. In spite of all this, he closed the whole thing out with how much he loved them and brethren and dearly beloved and, you know, in spite of the fact that they had stuff going on. Chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. You understand what he's saying? I wrote to you not to keep company with fornicators, but I'm not talking about it, the world out there. We've got to do business, we've got to work, we've got to talk to them, we have to deal with them. I'm not talking about that, he says. I'm not talking about out there. I'm talking about in here. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man is called, that is called a brother, be a fornicator or covetous. Don't get stuck on just fornicator. Read the rest of it. Or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner. With such an one, know not to eat. Now, you're not supposed to fellowship, be friends, keep company. That's the word that he uses, and that's the right word. Don't keep company with this kind of people. If they claim to be saved and they're a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or an extortioner or a railer or an idolater, there's a whole lot of others could go with that. Don't keep company with them. Don't be going out to eat with them. Don't be planning social gatherings together with people like that. Now, whether you believe it or not, like it or not, that's what the Bible teaches us very, very plainly right here. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Yet do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among you, or among yourselves, that wicked person. Therefore put away from among you that wicked person. So, that goes contrary to the thinking of a lot of Christians. They don't think that you ought to do that. This idea of excluding somebody from the church is gone. It don't exist anymore in modern Christianity. That's why the church is like it is. That's why the churches are like they are. They're full of fornicators, idolaters, covetous people, railers, everything else, from the pulpit to the pew. That's right. They're not going to be excluded. They're going to be welcomed. Even though the Bible says, don't keep company with somebody like that. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. What's so hard to understand about that? Do you feel the same way about your home as you do about the church? Would you let a fornicator move in your home and stay there with your wife, with your daughters in the house? Huh? You wives, would you let a fornicating woman move in the house with your husband and your sons and be okay with it? And think that if you said anything about it, you just don't love and you're a hater and you're not really a Christian. Would you think that way about your home? But when it comes to the church, people think that way. They think everybody ought to be welcome. Well, now here's just how it is. This is how I understand and see it, and I believe that it's right. A fornicator is welcome. We've had to deal with this, and we've lost people from the church because of this issue right here.
Yes.
A fornicator can come in here and sit down and listen to the Word of God. But a fornicator can't come in here and celebrate his fornication.
No.
He can't come in here and flaunt it. He can't come in here and brazenly just go to rubbing it in everybody's nose. That ain't going to fly. No, sir. That won't work. They're welcome to hear the Word of God if they've got a heart to hear it, but they're not going to do that. And the churches have all just went this way, see? Somebody tell me this week or last week or something about a church that we know where they actually do that. We go back to 1 Corinthians here. Well, we are in 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Where am I at here? I'm in 1 Corinthians, but I looked it up earlier here. Well, it is. It's the first part of this chapter. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And listen, and ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. So they were proud of the fact that they were so loving and merciful and wanted him among them so bad that they would allow that. They gloried in it instead of saying, no, you can't stay here and do that.
That's
right. So we shouldn't keep company with fornicators, period. What's the difference in keeping company with them and watching them on television? What are you going to see if you watch any of the modern TV shows? I mean, in modern and way back 40 years or so. What are you going to see? Fornication. And by the way, fornication is not just unmarried. It's any kind of sexual sin is fornication. Sodomites are fornicators. Yeah. Every kind of perversion, every kind of that other than in marriage between a man and a woman is fornication. That's right.
Yep.
Not to keep company with them. Don't mean you can't talk to them. He said that right at the beginning. I don't mean that you can't say something to you. Get away from all of them. The idea is that they can't be in our number. We can't keep company with them. They can't be our friends and companions. I don't know how to make that any plainer. You know, it's just like I was telling you this morning about that boy down there at Penny's the other day. I would never be unkind or rude to anybody like that.
No,
I wouldn't talk to him like a dog. You know, that's foolish. You're going to do more damage than anything else by doing that. But at the same time, you can't condone what they are and what they're doing. You can't approve of that. And you can't act like you approve of it. You can treat them with respect as a human and as somebody who's concerned for their soul. But you can't keep company with them. This sin is in a class all by itself. Its damage and effects are more severe and long-lasting than any other sins. Fornication is a sin that includes all other sins put together. Have you ever thought about that? Fornication includes deceit and lies. They're always involved. Before, during, and after. You lie to yourself first and then to whoever you need to lie to in order to get what you want. It's full of lies from beginning to end. All sin is. But this one is particular. It's just like all the other sins rolled up in one thing. You know, I've told you before that the law, moral law concerning this matter is the pillar of all morality. When you loosen up everything about this matter, I'm talking about sexual matters, and go to violating God's law in it, everything else crumbles. We are living in an anarchy now, and it started when they started untying these knots.
Yes.
Yeah. It sure did. And it happens fast. I remember reading here a few months, maybe a year ago, this secular guy did a bunch of studies, and I think I may have told you about it, but he studied 86 civilizations and how they came up, how they he traced the rise and fall of all of them. And he found that is a common thread. This secular guy, who don't even regard God at all, studying history, said that's how it starts right there. When the lines get erased about sexual morality, he said, then everything else just collapses quickly into lawlessness and confusion and anarchy. Total disregard for the law and order of God has to be attained before you'll cross over and commit this sin. Total disregard for the feelings and the future of others must be your attitude before you can commit this sin. That's why you're not supposed to keep company with people like that, because that's how they think. Yes. They really don't care about anybody but themselves. Mm-hmm. Not even the one they're committing fornication with. They've lost all feeling, really. Oh, they may think, they may profess to be in love, and they may have all these emotions, but really any care, any feeling or care? Nope. You read in the news about somebody getting killed, and there's men and women involved in it. It's almost every time that's where you run it right back, and that's what's going on. Yes, it is. It's somebody's girlfriend, somebody's wife, and some other guy. And somebody gets killed. Mm-hmm. Fornication is stealing. Because it's always taking something that doesn't belong to you. And that you have no right to. That's right. It's always, it includes stealing. Lying, stealing. It's totally being led by lust and walking after the flesh. It's never the result of being led by the Spirit. Even though some people think that to be the case. They profess that to be the case. I heard somebody told me that they knew of this church down in Mississippi where the pastor got up and been married to his wife 30-some years. And he got up in front of the church and announced that the Lord had led him to divorce his wife and marry this other woman in the church. And so they did, and everybody was okay with it. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. And ye are puffed up.
Yes.
Proud of it. Now you, anybody that thinks that God told him to divorce his wife and marry somebody else's wife, there's something wrong with you. If you think that could even be a remote possibility, you don't know God. I'll tell you that right now. So where does that leave people like in that whole church? I knew a church in Virginia where the pastor run off with a piano player and he come back and they give him a raise.
Yep.
That's the truth.
Yep.
It is reported commonly that there's fornication among you. And such is not even named among the Gentiles. Even these heathen people, lost people, don't act as bad as you are. And you're puffed up about it and think you're something. And that makes you a better Christian because you can put up with sin right in your midst. Fornication is covetousness, isn't it?
Yep.
Well, of course. Fornication is the very sin that God always uses to properly portray the sin of idolatry. He likens the two as synonymous. Same thing. Fornication is always a dishonor to parents. Yeah, it used to be a disgrace. Now they celebrate it. Preachers celebrate their unwed mother, daughters being pregnant.
Yep.
They sure do.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right.
The church will have a baby shower and everything. And act like it's just normal. Well, now, I'm not saying that we ought to mistreat people and shun them and put red marks on them and all of that. But there ought to be a difference. They ought to be loved, and we ought not to stop loving them and caring for them. But at the same time, what they've done is wrong, and they must get it right in order to be a part of the fellowship.
That's right.
It really bothers me that even in the people we know and have known for years, that this is a reality here. They celebrate fornication instead of condemning it. Nobody condemns it anymore. That's how far we've sunk. I mean, we've got to the point where the fundamental Bible-believing churches don't even condemn it anymore. They don't condemn fornication.
No.
They don't. Mm-mm. They act like it's just as normal, just as acceptable, just as right as when two people that are pure get married and have children.
Yeah.
They think it's the same thing. All right, what have I been talking to you about making no difference between the holy and the profane? Making no difference between the clean and the unclean. That's what the priest did, and God judged the country for because of that.
Yes, he did.
There's a difference, and we need to make the difference.
That's right.
Fornication is always a dishonor to parents. It's always a dishonor to the husband or wife if it's adultery. It's the worst thing that can be done to somebody. The worst dishonor that you can dump on them. Fornication is always a dishonor to your own self. Because the Bible says, "But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." I don't know if you've ever given that any consideration, but there's just so much more to that than I can even talk about here tonight. You dishonor your own body.
Yes.
It's something that doesn't go away for all of your life. There's much more to the reality of what the Bible talks about being defiled, than you want to hear tonight. If you women knew, and you girls really knew, the reality of the meaning of that, it would set you back. Being defiled.
Yes.
This is not a thing you just do and then you just... I got to be careful because I say things and it's just a little bit over the line of what I'm thinking here. But you can't just go change clothes and act like it's okay. Nothing ever happened. It's not that way. It leaves permanent marks, permanent things in your body that never go away. The influence of this sin is far too strong to overcome when you allow it to become a temptation. So that's why the Bible teaches us and instructs us to flee. Don't try to resist. Flee. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. So flee. That's the only defense we have against it. You keep company with fornicators, guess what's going to happen to you? Yes, sir. Because their talk, their mindset, there's a spirit about them. There's a spirit of fornication. And if you've got any discernment at all and any awareness about you, about what's around you, you can sense it. So then keeping company with fornicators is exactly the opposite of what God tells us to do about it. Keeping company with them is just the opposite of what God tells us to do here. Stay away from them. Don't keep company with them. Keeping company with fornicators, what is it? What does that mean? Well, it means to spend time with them. If you keep company with somebody, you spend time with them. You know, on the phone,
yep.
Watching them on TV, reading books they write. Why does every book now, I mean, and it has for years. What sells books? Yeah. What sells movies? What sells music? What sells chainsaws?
Hamburgers and cars.
Yeah, and hamburgers. And cars and everything. What sells? Well, there's this little saying, everybody knows it, sex sells. Women don't want to be objectified, but boy, there's no shortage of them that'll take off their clothes and for a little money. What do you call that?
Hypocrites.
Well, I call them prostitutes. I mean, if you're willing to take your clothes off for money, well, you do anything.
That's right.
It's a little money. It shows how much you think of your own self.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, that's why it's a dishonor to your body.
Yeah.
You're dishonored. You're cheapening it.
Yep.
By dressing immodestly.
Yes.
By acting like one of them. If you act like a fornicator, that's what you are.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Women talk about empowerment. That's the only empowerment that I've been able to discern that they have.
Yes, that's right.
Take their clothes off.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's right.
They actually believe that. I mean, I've read where they said that. By posing nude, they felt empowered. I just laugh and say, my goodness.
Sometimes I consider it a bad word.
Yes. Well, I know, boy, this don't fly in normal circles anymore. I know that. Keeping company with them means to spend time with them. Keeping company with them means to get to know them and their thinking. You keep company with somebody, you get to know them. You keep company with somebody, and pretty soon their ways rub off on you. We were talking about that a week or two ago here, about your personality and how you pick up from other things. That's your personality's not all. I mean, you pick up morals. And you pick up everything else from them. You know, that's why God ordered the children of Israel through the law not to learn the way of the heathen. Not to take their daughters to their sons for wives.
Yes.
Not to give their daughters to their sons for wives. Don't mix with them. Stay away from them. You got to live here. You got to do business with them. But don't keep company with them. Because you'll learn their ways, and they'll steal your hearts from me. That's why God wanted them to stay away.
Yep.
I've seen people become fornicators that I never thought would. But they didn't just do it overnight. They started keeping company with them first. Every time. That's how it happens. Talking to them. Communicating with them. The only thing about social media is you have a little bit of control of that. If you got somebody on your friends list that puts that nasty stuff up there, you can turn them off.
Yep. Yep.
But I wonder how many people really do that much.
Yeah.
You see it a time or two and you're enticed to look a little more. Wonder what they got to say today. Wonder what they'll do today. What's all this Instagram, they call them influencers. What are every one of them about? When I say Instagram influencer, a female Instagram influencer, what is she? She is a harlot who takes off her clothes to influence people. Yeah. She may not know how to read or write. She may not be able to ride a bicycle, but she can take her clothes off, and she's an influencer.
Right.
Yeah.
Mercy. To allow them to counsel you and influence your thinking and activities. Now, that's keeping company with fornicators.
Yes.
To allow them to counsel you. Get advice from them. I don't really think we need any advice from fornicators and adulterers. Now, you're just too hard about it. I don't believe that a man who's committed adultery or fornication should be in the pulpit if he did it while he was a preacher. I mean, if he's a preacher and he's behind the pulpit, and if he's an evangelist or a missionary or a pastor, and he does that, then he shouldn't be preaching behind the pulpit. But he repented and he got it right. Well, there's the position demands a stricter rule than what covers everybody. I know you can be forgiven. And I know that God will take away your sin and all that. But that doesn't restore everything back to zero. We've just been over that and over and over. Sin leaves its mark. And the trust has been violated.
Right.
It just can't be fixed that way. But I know where there's churches all over this country where men are standing behind the pulpit who are adulterers. I believe I know some where there are active adulterers right now. And they're still there. And nobody's going to do nothing about it. Because just like the, you know, the preacher that run off with the piano player and he come back and they give him a raise. Think about the people in the pews. Now, what is he going to tell them about anything?
What are they going to do?
Exactly. You know what's going on there? You got a church full of them.
Yes.
That's what's going on right there. Everybody's got a license now. And he can just tell them every Sunday how good it's going to be when we all get to heaven. And the whole bunch is going to end up in hell. Say, you're that stirred. No, I'm not. I'm telling you the truth. That's the way it is. If I was in a church and that kind of nonsense happened, I would be gone. Yes, sir. I would not. I cannot sit there and go on under that kind of circumstances. To allow, you know, to talk about the things they talk about. That's keeping company with them. To allow your mind to think of the things that fornicators think about. What do you think fornicators think about?
Fornication.
What do all the porn sites make their money off of? Fornicators. A lot of them are churchgoers. I listened years ago, probably 20 years ago, to James Dobson one morning going to work. He said that they did a phone survey, and he said they called so many pastors, I mean hundreds and hundreds, thousands of them. I couldn't believe it. I mean, the numbers he gave were just unbelievable. But he talked about like 80-some percent of the ones they talked to had problems with pornography. 20 years ago. What happened here? Oh, well, thank you. Yep. What do you think it's like now? You know, 20 years ago, there wasn't near as many of these T-shirt-wearing, jean-sneakers-wearing guys like down here at Malden in churches, pastoring churches.
Right.
Now they're everywhere.
Yeah.
You know that guy down there that preached that message? It was so well-known, got on Fox News and everything. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's on Fox News front page there. Yeah, he's famous. But I mean, really, now, what do you think? Do you think there's fornication involved there anywhere?
Yes.
Maybe? Maybe?
Absolutely.
I would too. I'd bet the farm.
That's right.
You're way on down the road when you can get up and preach that and call that a message from God. All right, the world's full of fornicators. So if you're involved in the world, you're keeping company with them.
Right.
They're everywhere.
Yes.
If you're involved in the world, you're keeping company with them.
Yeah.
Are there any where you work, Cody? Anywhere you work, Esther? Is anywhere you work, Gary? What about you, Mike? Amy, you reckon you... suspect there might be some. They're everywhere.
Yes, they are.
You get involved with the world. Well, you have to work. I mean, but you better keep them at elbow length. You don't have to be buddy-buddy with everybody.
Right.
At work.
That's right.
You better draw the line somewhere. I mean, you better make it known somehow that you're not that.
Right.
And that you don't want to hear about it.
Yep.
And you don't want to know about it. And that you're not going to be involved in it.
Yeah.
And that you think it's wrong.
Right.
You better let it be known. They better know somehow that you do not accept that kind of living. Because it's wrong. Because it's against God.
Yes.
And you better not form fellowships with people like that.
Right.
Invite them over to your house and go out to eat with them and go on excursions with them and stuff. Don't treat them rude and don't be unkind to them. No. But make a separation there. You're watching them in the movies and TV shows as they do all the things that lead to fornication and then commit it right in front of your own eyes and the eyes of your children. You're keeping company with them. Wow. You're reading what they have to say in their books and magazines about their sin. And they even give you full color pictures to look at. Mercy. Books and magazines, that ain't too big of a deal anymore. All the magazines are going out of business.
Yeah.
Books, nobody reads books anymore. Somebody writes a book and they sell so many copies, I wonder about that. Who's reading these books? Well, I know some people do, but they're very few.
Yes.
When's the last time you ever read a book? Think about it. Yeah?
Several right now.
Even the clothing catalogs are full of pictures and information that encourage and incite fornication.
Yeah, it's true.
What do they major on?
Sexy.
Mm-hmm. It's terrible. We get stuff in the mail that goes right in the trash can before anybody can see it. Yeah. We used to get stuff that we didn't order. I don't know. Granny got something from a medical supply thing, and it was, I mean, yes, extremely. We had to get it in the trash and do something with it so it didn't get dug out of the trash or seen by anybody. Terrible. A fornicator should not be allowed to hang around the church and call himself a Christian.
That's right.
Do y'all hear me?
Yes,
yeah. Somebody ought to do something about it. The first one who's responsible is the pastor.
Yep.
Somebody told me, I heard a preacher one time said, he was at a meeting, I was at somewhere, and said, what is the first duty of a pastor? He said, well, first thing he needs to know how to do is kill wolves. Or run them off.
Yeah.
Knows how to spot them and make sure they don't settle in. Well, I've never had that problem too much. We have one come around once in a while. But boy, they won't stay around. I don't know. I guess I'm just so unlikable that they just can't. Yeah. Well, they know. And they do it just like a real wolf does the sheep. They look for a pastor who's absent or a weak one who wouldn't say a word, who wouldn't do a thing.
Right.
I don't know how many times we've had people come to the church where I've been pastoring and I knew what they were there for. But, you know, I remember one in particular. We met them in another church somewhere where I was preaching one Sunday, and then they came to our church and but boy, he found out right away he wasn't going to pull that stuff here. He ain't coming in here and smoking his cigarette until he can't, you know, and then come in and then go to contradicting me publicly. Nope, ain't going to do that. So, what about a fornicator? Oh, well. I'm just reading to you what the Bible says here. I'm going to say something, and it's pretty strong, but it's the truth. You better get this down. All fornicators are going to hell.
Yes,
there's no such thing as a saved, born-again fornicator.
Right.
1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. Listen closely. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither, say it with me, neither fornicators, first on the list, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Those are sodomites, in case you don't know what that is.
Right.
Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. See all those negatives? Nor. Neither, nor. None of these people are going to heaven. None of these people know God. None of these people are saved or born again. They're all living after the flesh. in the lust of the flesh.
Yeah.
And then he says, and such were some of you.
Yeah.
But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
Yeah.
So we can't, we got to remember where we came from. Yeah, there's forgiveness. Thank God, or there wouldn't be none of us here today. If it wasn't that, it was one of them other things right there, I guarantee you. Such were some of you. All of us fell into one category or the other of all this, or all of them. Most of us fell into all of them. While we got to interact with the fornicators of the world, that's in our necessary business. It's not necessary to have anything to do with a fornicator who tries to call himself a Christian. God forbids it. Y'all understand it? You better understand that God forbids us from keeping company with somebody who calls themselves a Christian, but they are a fornicator. What are you talking about, a fornicator? Well, I'm talking about somebody who's living in continual fornication, or who has not repented of their fornication and renounced it. They're a fornicator. You're still a sinner until you get saved and you repent of your sin and you condemn your sin.
Right.
You're still a fornicator, still a sinner. We're to have nothing to do with a person like that, not even to sit down and eat with them. They call themselves a Christian, but they're a liar. They're dangerous to our own soul and to our life and to the lives and souls of our children, our spouses, and others. People can't understand. It confuses them because they say, you're a preacher and you go out of church and you want people to get saved and here you are just cutting them all out. Just picking out one, you're just cutting them out. No, you wasn't listening a while ago. They're welcome to come and listen to the Word of God. I don't care how they're living.
Right.
But they're not welcome to come in here and take over.
That's right.
They're not welcome to come here and celebrate their sin in our presence.
Right.
They're not welcome to come here and promote their sin or try to multiply their sin among our number.
Right.
They're covetous and they're scanning the pews in search of a prey for their lust. See? They're not welcome to come in here and start looking our girls over.
Yeah, no.
Or our boys.
Yep.
Or our wives.
Yes, right.
Or our husbands.
Yep.
And most people ain't even watching for that. And we're a small number. And we're, everybody, we don't have to deal with this kind of issue much. But in bigger churches, you do.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I learned to watch. Yes, sir, buddy. We've been in churches where I watched. I watched my girls. I watched my wife. I watched what was going on with the looks and the attention. And when they didn't even know what was going on in church.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've seen it so many times. They come in church because it's easy picking. Because
yes.
Just like I preached to you this morning, most everybody's asleep. And I don't mean to sleep in church. I mean, they just ain't paying attention. They're in church and they think it's a safe place. And some of the worst immorality that I have known of in my life happened right there. They're willing to do anything to indulge themselves in their sin. Willing to do anything. They have no regard for any authority or order. It doesn't matter to them whose wife or daughter or husband or son it is. You need to understand that. You just don't love them and you're being too mean and you're just... No, if you understood what a fornicator really thought like, and you care anything about your kids, your wife, your daughters, your sons, you'd be the same way.
Right.
They don't care about you. They don't care if it's your wife, your daughter. Your wife or daughter is just a thing to them that they're after.
Right.
They're just like a drug addict.
Yep.
They're just after their lust. And they just size up everybody in around them all the time.
Yep.
That's what a fornicator is. That's why you're not to keep company with them. That's why you're not to allow one to be in your number. And any of them that says, well, I'm saved as you are, then you're not to even eat with a person like that. They're so deceived. They're such a liar. They're so dangerous. You better believe God on this deal. They take no responsibility for the consequences of their sin. They're not looking for a relationship. They're simply looking for another prey to fulfill their lust. Well, you know, my kids are grown. Thank the Lord. I looked forward to the time when they were grown and married, and this kind of a thing was off of me, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's rough having young daughters and sons in a world like we live in, where the temptations are so many and everywhere. Where the tempters are everywhere. Where the fornicators are everywhere. I always stayed after these girls, you know, and Dad would go to the bluff with them and take them to the store and stuff. And I've always watched, and I see what other men, how they look. You know, it's just kind of got to be a habit of mine. You know, you're walking in Walmart and here's this fornicator. You can tell by the way he's carrying himself and looking around. And if he looks at one of my girls or my wife, I'm looking at him all the time. Eye contact. He won't do it. As long as I'm looking at him, he's fighting it, boy. You can tell he's... but he won't look. You cut your eyes away just a second and then look at him. Try it. You girls don't have a clue. I mean, I know you think you do, but you don't. If you knew, I always told the girls, if you knew what these men were thinking, you wouldn't have any problem dressing right. And you'd be careful about being around them, being out where they're at. Stay away from them. Well, I'm saying things I never planned on saying, but they won't take responsibility for their actions. Their talk will be filthy. And it'll be filled with lewdness and suggestive comments. And you know what that is? That's designed to lure the prey into their snare. That's what it is. And it works.
Yeah.
Men, it's what they see. Women, it's what they hear. The way it is. Their subtle, sneaky looks and whispers will defile many, especially the young and the weak. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. That's what the Bible says here to do. Put them out of the church and out of your home and out of your life. What happened here, if you went to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you'll see what happened with this situation right here. Paul told them to put him out now. Put them both out. This man had his father's wife. He said, even the Gentiles don't do that bad, and you're glorying in it. Put him out. And if you don't, when I come, I'm going to deal with you. The whole situation. Well, they put him out. And Paul said, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together in my spirit with the power of the Lord our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good, he said. No, know you not that a little leaveneth the whole lump? That's what they did. They put him out, and her. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you know what you find? They're back in the church. They repented, and they got right. And they're back in the church. And Paul's telling the church, now let off of him. I mean, such sufficient to such a one is, I mean, you've done enough. Now, ease up on them.
Yeah.
It worked. Yeah. And it does work. Paul didn't say hate him. He just said deliver such a one unto Satan. I mean, it's what I preached about a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday night. God gave him up. Just get your hands back. Make them leave the church because they're living in fornication. And if they get right, they're welcome back. All churches in the past who practiced church discipline, that was the whole goal, was that they get right with God. Not just get rid of them. So you get that burden off and get them out of here. You had to remove that evil influence from among you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You let them stay, you're going to have a church full of them. They're going to defile everybody. But put them out with the hope and the prayer and the promise that if they repent of their sin and get right with God, they're welcome anytime. We love you. We're not trashing you. We don't want you to perish. We don't want to do this, but we can't let this go on like this. And it worked. Next thing Paul's telling them is, you got to stop this now. You got to help them now. See?
Yes.
It's not mean. It's not cruel. It's not hate. It's love. And it's obedience to God. And it's God's way. It's the same way in your home. You better keep your home pure. You better watch about allowing fornication in your home. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. I'm going to just read this verse and we'll be done. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. That's just how it is. God designed us and made us, and that's part of life, but there's a place for it that God designed for it. And fornicators have no regard for God's order. They don't have any regard for God's honor, your honor, the honor of the person they're committing fornication with.
Yeah.
Then there's spiritual fornication.
Yes.
The same applies. All this that we've said applies to that too.
Right.
I don't think the church takes that seriously enough either. They allow spiritual fornicators in their number. They allow them in the pulpit. They allow them to be deacons and Sunday school teachers and hold office and have great influence in the church when they're not faithful to God. They'll put anything else above God. And yet we allow. And we still call them a Christian. There's all kinds of people that won't even come to church and they claim to be a Christian. And, you know, that falls into that category. Mm-hmm. It's unfaithfulness.
Yes.
What's adultery? What's fornication? It's unfaithfulness. It's stealing. It's thievery. It's every sin in the world combined into one.
Yes.
Yep. You love the Lord thy God with all your heart, yes, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Not part. It's not a... And nobody shacks with Jesus. He don't shack with nobody. It's total commitment. And it's fidelity and purity. Exclusive.
Yes. It's true.
He won't share you with the world and the devil. And he won't do it.
No.
Spiritual adultery when we go off and set our affection on things of the earth. Yeah. Amen. All right. That's enough. I'll quit. Father, pray you'd bless the word of God to heart. I pray it'd be understood. I know some things here that they don't get said very often anymore by anybody. But these things are real. And we need to stay faithful to the basic truths of the word of God. And especially when it comes to the order of the church and the family and all of this and the things we've talked about here tonight. Pray you'd all help us all to have a right attitude toward these kinds of sinners. Lord, and this kind of sin. And Lord, that we would keep ourselves pure and our minds pure. Help us, Lord, I pray. And watch over these young people in this awful time that we're living in where sin abounds and where this sin is one of the most common things that is going on. Help us, Father, I pray. We need your protection. We need your wisdom and guidance, and we need the Holy Spirit to rein us in and remind us and guide us in all of this. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.